Henderson. I'm a local councillor for the Pentland Council Ward, which takes in part of Wester Hills, and I'm also the Labour candidate for Edinburgh South West in the general election.
Can you just tell me a little bit about your background?
I've lived, worked and brought up my family in the southwest of Edinburgh for the last 35 years. I'm a trade unionist and I still represent union members. I've been a councillor for this area since 1999, represented about half of Wester Hills in that time. And then when the boundaries changed for the local council wards, a ward changed to what it's called the Pentland Hills Ward. But it still takes in a wee bit of Wester Hills, including Clovenstone and everything sort of south of the railway line. So I've maintained an interest in the Wester Hills community for quite a number of years now. I've been lucky enough to work with all the many organisations and communities that live within Wester Hills, so I'm hoping for that involvement to continue.
Is there any sort of big decisions or projects in Wester Hills that you've been involved with?
Yeah, sure, many. I originally worked, when I first got elected, I worked with the Wester Hills Rep Council, which was the major organisation. It was a major voice of Wester Hills. It was a major kind of democratic structure for Wester Hills. And so as well as all the neighbourhood councils that were representing that, so were all the agencies, of which there were, I think, about a dozen at the time, all of which were partially funded through Social Inclusion Partnership funding at the time. So that was a sophisticated structure and it was an effective structure, and unfortunately it began to decline when funding towards Social Inclusion Partnership started to reduce and the measurement of relative poverty began to show that Wester Hills was becoming more successful and more prosperous than it once had been. And that meant there was a consequential reduction in funding because of that, until the point where we reached that the Social Inclusion Partnerships were finished and they moved to a different model. But yeah, I've worked with all the agencies and I'm still involved with the people at Clovenstone, sometimes going to their management committee meetings. I've done some work with the church up there, with the Dove Centre are now headquartered, so they're working to extend their premises to provide more community facilities but also better accommodation for the Dove Centre and their client group. I've worked with Prospect in the past. I helped to set up the organisation called WGARA, which is the West Edinburgh Group Against Racial Attack and Harassment, and I still chair that group, working with various public agencies and the black and minority ethnic community of Wester Hills and the broader West Edinburgh, looking at racist incidents and policy and how organisations deal with supporting victims and pursuing the culprits.
Can I ask, what was it made you want to stand as an MP for the area?
Well, I suppose I've always felt that I've stood up against inequality and injustice. I've been a member of the Labour Party for 28 years. I've been, as I said, I've been a councillor in this area for 16 years, and I've lived, worked and raised my family in South West Edinburgh for 35 years or so. And when Alistair Darling announced that he was going to stand down, made the decision to retire, I felt I was as well placed as anyone else to put my name forward and say that I would like to represent South West Edinburgh for the Labour Party and for the constituents. I sought advice from colleagues and family and I got the support that I hoped for, put my name forward, and I won the selection contest and was selected as a candidate at the end of January.
Is there any sort of issues or policies that you or the Labour Party's campaigning on you think will have a big impact on Wester Hills?
Yeah, I do. I think there'll be a number of things. And they're all around the world of work. I'm a great believer in people working and making a contribution, but also improving themselves and their lives through working and managing to develop a career. But I think what holds a lot of people back just now is low pay. You know, we live in a low-pay economy and a low-pay culture, and I think pay and conditions have been driven down over the years, and I think that's wholly wrong. And I think hard-working people should be entitled to have a bit of money in their pockets and be able to support themselves and their families, and they should not have to be dependent on benefits, particularly if they're working full-time. So I think our commitment to increase the minimum wage to £8 an hour, I think, is a major step forward, and that will allow working people the dignity to have a bit of money in their pocket, and they can decide, you know, how they spend that money. Linked to that, Labour will abolish exploitative zero-hour contracts. I think there's been a proliferation of zero-hour contracts in recent years, and it's not acceptable to me that people should not know from one week to the next what their income's going to be, you know, waiting for a phone call and working however many hours it may be. It might suit some people in some circumstances, but I think the choice should be with the individual, and if they want a permanent contract of defined hours, then that should be put in place. There was a commitment that Jim Murphy made at the weekend there at the Scottish Labour Party conference, which said that young people who did not go into full-time education or college places, that they should be able to bid into a fund for up to £1,600 to support their ambitions in terms of entering the world of work. So that might be for buying tools, if somebody was, say, going into the building trade or whatever, or driving lessons, or start-up costs for setting up their own business. And I think in a place like West of Wales, I think that's really important. I think young people, we talk a lot about young people going to college and university, and we don't always talk so much about young people who decide that that's not for them, and what support are they entitled to. And I think this is quite an imaginative new scheme that hopefully will help young people to progress and develop the careers that they want.
What sort of impact do you think the referendum might have on the election?
The general election is not a rerun of the referendum. Clearly, I think Scotland is still reflecting on the outcome of the referendum, which of course was very clear cut in terms of the no vote. My fear is that if the SNP do well in the election, there's, well, two things. First of all, the better the SNP do, the more likelihood there is of David Cameron remaining on Downing Street as Prime Minister, and of the Conservatives making up the government, and I think that would be a disaster for this country. And secondly, I think the more SNP MPs there are, I think they will return again and again to the constitutional question, and I think Scotland needs to move on from that. You know, we spent 2 years debating the constitutional question. We put the question to the people, and the people gave a very clear answer. We need to move on.
Is there anything you'd like to add at all?
It's been a privilege to represent West of Wales, you know, for 16 years, and I look forward to hopefully doing that in the future. Hopefully, as the MP, and the community will continue to have my support.